A very warm welcome to all of you to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast. This is your host, Dr. Vignesh Devraj. In today's episode, I am sharing a conversation where I was interviewed in a podcast by the host, Gemma Lee, and it is called Well Woman Podcast. And she is a menstrual cycle expert, and with her, I discuss on woman's health and Ayurveda. Now, we discuss about menstrual health, thyroid issues that the women are facing, and how to make the best of your stay in Sitaram. And is it okay to do panchakarma if a woman is menstruating? And the importance of saying no to take ownership of your health. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And now we go over to the conversation.
I'd love to talk about women's health. And I think I love Ayurveda and the fact that it is really a full holistic approach. It's not just like, this is the herb that's going to work for you. Take this herb. So let's talk about women's health imbalances. What are the biggest imbalances as an Ayurvedic doctor that you see in women's health today?
So once you become an Ayurvedic doctor, and when you set up a retreat like this, I just observed, I didn't realize I'll be dealing more with women's health than men's health. Of course, there are men who come for treatments to my retreat. But overall, it'll be about 3:2 or even 4:1 ratio, like 4 women for 1 man or 3 women for 2 men. And sometimes when you ask men, why are you here for your treatment? He said, oh, my wife told me to come, or my girlfriend told me to come, or my mother told me to come. And then they start coming on themselves. So even though it's a woman's health, but I would like to share the story about a couple who came for a consultation. And the first, it was a wife who was giving her medical history, and she was talking about menopause and high heart rate. Sometimes there is hot flashes, heat waves, inability to sleep at night, and this is creating a lot of stress. It went on for like 20 to 30 minutes because we go in detail for the medical history, and then we document, and then we design the treatment protocol for the 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the number of days they're going to stay. And then the husband sits for the consultation, and I asked him, so what would you like to improve for your health during your stay here? And he said, I just want a good massage. So when he said, I just want a good massage, you could see in his wife's eyes, he was getting quite angry. And I thought if we don't diffuse this, it could erupt into a real fight. Then, sir, is that all that you want? Just a good massage? Yes, just a good massage. Okay, is everything else fine? You know, you put in questions like, maybe is there any pain in your neck or lower back or your digestion is better. Then the wife started, doctor, he's lying. He's snoring all the time and he's always tired and he needs a lot of coffee and he feels like his emotional health also needs to be updated. He gets stressed so quickly and sometimes his blood pressure is over the roof. And then she stopped. It's like she put in the fire and then she kept quiet. And then I had to ask the wife to leave the consultation room so that, you know, I could have the men's talk with him. And he said, this is all fine. As long as you treat this woman, I'm going to be fine. This was his statement. And I asked him, but you also have high blood pressure. Yes, I'm stressed out. Then why don't you share this? And he was saying, no, I thought being sick means you're bedridden. And I think there's a lot of truth because I could connect myself with him because we are told if you're really sick means you can't move, you're bedridden. And then I started realizing, yes, women have a lot more attitude towards preventive health than men. Maybe that's a thing by nature because she has to give birth and she has to take care of a growing baby in her for 9 months. So nature has instilled this taking care a little more than in men because men have to go and fight and they have to protect. And so unless they are really sick, they are told not to show their weakness. Whereas in women, it's quite natural to show their weakness. So this is one thing that I figured out. And I'm not specialized in women's health by education, even though we had to study for that. I am specialized because of my patients and they taught me what it is. So my real teachers are my patients who taught me. So today what I see, menopause issues a lot. They taking hormone replacement therapy and finding an alternative. Is this genuine? Then you see a lot with polycystic ovarian syndrome, hormonal imbalances, thyroid imbalances. Now, people, women come and say that, doctor, I have thyroid. Of course, we all have thyroid. Now, the word thyroid itself has become synonymous to a disease. Thyroid is just the name of a gland. It's become that extent. And then Hashimoto's syndrome, this is another issue that you see, irregular menstruation, painful menstruation, fertility issues. These are the common aspects that I see, that I commonly see today.
Do you think that, and this is just me thinking out loud here, do you think that because women get like a monthly health check with their menstruation, so if something shifts or changes in someone's menstruation, whether their cycle becomes irregular or it just doesn't come at all, or they're having challenges with conception and fertility, or they're going through erratic, potentially early menopause, do you think that women have this monthly health check so they have a better gauge as to what's on track or off track, as opposed to, you know, non-menstruators and men don't have a monthly health check?
For sure that, you know, if you keep checking every day or every once in a while, definitely it brings a lot of awareness. So there's a high possibility you could look at it, because I could never think from, I can only imagine how it will be to that. But there is a high possibility, like there is a saying, not saying there's a, I'm yet to find the real source of this research, but what it says, type 2 diabetic people who are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes tend to have much better healthy lifestyle. Because the fact that they are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, they become more conscious about the food they eat. They think that I have to work out, because it brings in that an element of concern and worry, rather than people who have good genetics and they could consume whatever they want. It becomes like a frog in the boiling water. But still, there are women who don't care about this in spite of that. And then still also they get unhealthy. However, this monthly check, it brings an awareness. You have to take care of your health. And they also see how the lifestyle can impact their period. They say when they get stressed, there could be a delay for this. So when I travel too much, there could be a early menstruation, or it could be delayed by 4 or 5 days. So they are able to connect how their lifestyle is impacting with the menstrual health. So that way they are more, it helps them to connect with their lifestyle and thought patterns, emotional health and food habits, all of it.
It's really that whole holistic, like how is your life impacting your body and how is your body impacting your life?
Yes.
Which is beautiful. So let's talk about, you know, healing, treating, or addressing women's health imbalances. So you mentioned things like infertility, endometriosis, PCOS, even things like fibroids, thyroid imbalance, Hashimoto's, menopausal challenges. As an Ayurvedic doctor, I understand the Ayurvedic approach is every single person has their own unique blueprint, and every blueprint is different. Therefore, every protocol, suggestion, treatment plan is going to be different. But in general, what is the best process to addressing your health if you've come to the conclusion, or you've come to say a diagnosis that I have this, whether it's endo, infertility, PCOS, Hashimoto's? What's the next best step for someone in a position like that?
So PCOS itself requires one episode to discuss. Endometriosis also deserves one full episode to discuss. However, I can put certain basics on this. Now, first, I will always talk about a story when describing about treatments like Panchakarma or Ayurvedic therapies. There was a father, he was reading his morning newspaper and his little son is disturbing him for his attention. So the father thought, okay, I need to keep this little fellow engaged. So what he did, he tore the newspaper, which had a world map. And he tore it into a few pieces and told the son, go and fix the world map and come. So the son fixes the world map in a few minutes and comes back. How did you manage to do that? Father was surprised that at such a young age, even without going to a geography class, you are managing to do that. And he comes back with the world map and says, it was quite easy because there was a face of a man on the other side of the map. And I just fixed the face and the world map was an effortless result. So this is how the story, certain things, once you fix this, maybe it could be PCOS, maybe it could be fertility. But endometriosis or fibroid, it needs further little more alterations and modifications, and maybe medications are also required. A lot of things can be changed by changing the lifestyle, food habits, your own self-respect. Why I say self-respect? A healthy lifestyle comes with a lot of self-respect. And then having a good routine. And then, of course, eliminating a lot of unhealthy stuff or toxic stuff. It could be with food. It could be with relationship. It could be with your surroundings. It could be with your job. Sometimes there are patients who come and say, after I changed the job, my health problems changed. Even though I prescribed the best possible prescription, they would say that it was actually the job change that helped them. So these are also things that I observe in my clinical practice. So starting with what are the basics once they come to know, most of the conditions that you see today in women's health, hormonal imbalances, these have a lot to do with emotional stress and unhealthy lifestyle. Now, emotional stress leads to unhealthy lifestyle. Unhealthy lifestyle includes overconsumption or substance abuse. I mean, it need not be a chemical or narcotic abuse I'm talking about. It could be with sugar, it could be with salty fried food, it could be alcohol, smoking, coffee, or even screens, staying very late at night. And then that leads to a lot of hormonal imbalance. Hormonal balance comes from life balance. When you balance your life, hormones will also balance naturally. And instead of saying, okay, my thyroid levels, T3, T4, TSH levels are imbalanced, so maybe I need to take some tablets like L-tyroxine or Pyronorm. Instead of just taking something is deficient, so I need to top up this with the synthetic chemical. We need to ask this question, why is the thyroid levels imbalanced in the first place? What is contributing to that? So many people don't realize. There are patients who come and tell me, doctor, I eat very healthy. I live a very healthy lifestyle. I go to work out or I do yoga, or some people say I'm obsessed with Ashtanga yoga. And I still don't know why I'm having this hypothyroidism. Can you please tell me? And when you ask them, what time do you go to sleep? Usually by 12:30, sometimes 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 a.m. So this also leads to a lot of imbalance. In Ayurveda, we call it imbalance to the vata. When your sleep is disturbed, your vata is disturbed. When your vata is disturbed, your nervous system, you see the word nervous system, it always gets nervous. That's why it's called nervous system. Once the nervous system is hyperactive or in an alert system, this is definitely going to impact the hormonal balance. So when people come to Sitaram, the retreat where I which I founded and where I work. Even though we don't do, in some people, we don't do intensive panchakarma therapy because their body cannot handle it. So we just focus on putting them on routine and giving them therapies that helps them to just relax. So most of these conditions, it could be hypothyroidism, it could be PCOS, it could be endometriosis. One thing I've observed, their emotional health really needs to be addressed. There could be a tendency of borderline anxiety, and it could be depression too, or hyperactivity, overanalysis. And that has to be addressed. How can this be addressed? You cannot address this by giving counseling. It's like improving your muscles. You don't improve your muscles by one session. It's a long-term, a rest of your life job. But you tell them how this has to be done. So these are the pathways that you have to instill. So get regular with your sleep, get regular with your food, and then slowly, slowly, we will tell you how to check in with your emotions, and then correcting the gut. Many people, they could have bloating issues, endometriosis. If they come with painful menstrual cycle, there's a lot of bloating issues they could also have. And sometimes they go with bloating issues and then they realize it's actually endometriosis. Bloating would be the first problem that they had, and they would be trying to address bloating, and then later they would do a scan, or even though the laparoscopy is the gold standard to diagnose endometriosis, however, it's not so easy to do that. But a lot can be diagnosed just by the symptomatic understanding of what the patient is going through. To a lot extent, it can be minimized, reversed. In some cases, surgery is inevitable. But to understand to where it has to be dealt case to case, and also to understand what the lifestyle that person is going through. If the lifestyle is, doctor, there's no way I can change my lifestyle. Can you just prescribe me some medicines? And if the diagnosis and the symptoms are quite severe, then maybe surgery is the inevitable thing that they have to go through. And then maybe they could help to avoid the recurrence to happen. So this is how I tell them, correct your lifestyle, sleep becomes your priority, eating healthy food becomes your priority, checking in with your emotions. What are the facts that you do to enhance your own self-respect and your connection with yourself? And once these are put, you don't need a doctor. It'll just automatically correct itself. Like once, because I fixed the face of that man, the world map just auto-corrected itself. The same way, once you fix this, this also corrects itself.
I love that analogy of the map. Thank you for sharing that story. And it's true. I think so many people, particularly in the Western world, is looking for like the next best thing that's going to help them and the next best thing, when so many of the lifestyle factors can easily be achieved without having to buy the next best wonder product marketed to you. And to sum it up, I know you said sleep, emotional health, gut health links to regular eating. And they're the real signs that a lot of people don't realize. And I know for the clients that I've worked with, a lot of people have some kind of stress in their life. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, work is so stressful for me. Mm-hmm. But it could be stress in a toxic relationship or a living situation or a natural disaster or a family situation with, you know, mothers or siblings, friends, community, you know, change of finances. So much can impact us. And that can then impact our sleep, which impacts our emotional health. And I think it's important to realize for everyone listening that it's never just one thing. And that's what I love about Ayurveda. It's a whole approach. And so when people come and attend the, you know, retreat or come to the retreat center at Sitaram, and they're there for say a 2-week treatment plan, what does that look like? Like, what is that actually made up of that supports them with their sleep, their emotional health and the gut health?
First thing we have to understand, stress is inevitable. If you are alive, you will have some kind of stress. And some stress can make you stronger. Some stress can injure you. Like if you are working out, let's say you are doing muscle resistance training. For sure, you are putting a stress to your muscles and you're tearing your muscles. But you're tearing it to a certain degree where it doesn't paralyze you or give you intense pain that you have to not work, but it is giving you a kind of, you're training the muscle to get stronger. So there is a margin of error that your body and mind can go through with stress. And when you, if you're staying in that margin, then it's only going to make you stronger. But when we go beyond that, that is when injury happens to your muscles. The same way, stress, if it gives you a particular kind of challenge, it's fantastic. And people say, oh, I love that challenge. I'm yet to see a person who doesn't like challenge. Everyone likes challenge. But some people are afraid of challenges if they think that there's no way, they don't have the enough resources and a support system to go through that challenge. And they also get worried about it. So our body, it's like a, you know, everything, like you say, there is a cycle, there is this, you will see the full moon and the new moon, you will see the day and the night, you see the negative and the positive in a magnet. This polarity is inevitable, like we have this concept of Advaita, like the duality is so important. And same way, you need to, it's like a pendulum. You need to go through the stress period and you need to go through the recovery period, stress and recovery. This pendulum effect is so important for a healthy lifestyle. And if you don't have that challenges or healthy stress, or some people even call it the word eustress, then our life becomes without any motive. Then we are hyper alert and it burns out, or we become very bored and it can lead to many other issues. So first thing is to, first thing with emotional health is to educate them. It's good to have stress, but to what extent and how can I minimize the stress? That's where we need to learn. And, and dealing with stress, first thing, it starts with your ability to say no to things.
I love that.
And that ability to say no, it comes with practice, because we in general, humans are not designed to say no. It takes a lot of effort to say no. And no means keeping healthy boundaries, telling no to your colleague or your employer or your partner or to yourself when it becomes too much that your body cannot handle it. So there's a lot of people-pleasing tendencies. And if people are, all of them are consuming a lot, then maybe I should also do that. Then we give into it. So these things, first things, to become aware, where is it that I'm finding it difficult to say no? Where is it I'm having difficulty to communicate? Now, when you look at it from, you know, we have the six chakras and thyroid, you can have a huge correlation with the throat chakra. And throat chakra has a lot to do with your ability to communicate. So when, and this is one thing I've observed, when a woman feels that she's not able to communicate her feelings to her partner, to her best friends, or to her colleagues, or to her surroundings that she is living with, when she feels helpless, or I don't feel heard, you could be in a relationship but still feel lonely. You could be in a job, you're working, and if your employer or your boss doesn't understand that what are the resources that you need to execute your job in the best possible way, and that person feels, I don't have enough resources to execute and I don't feel heard. This can also lead to imbalances of your throat chakra. And that is something, and you'll see that sometimes it reflects in your thyroid levels. So educating them how to communicate in a better way, even though I'm an Ayurvedic doctor, but educating them these things, this also helps. I see that the results are fantastic and phenomenal. And people say, I changed my job. Now my blood report says everything is normal. So how can the job influence your blood reports? Because it's our emotions, thoughts that impact our nervous system, that impact our release of the hormones. And once your vata is balanced, balancing the other two doshas like the pitta and kapha is a walk in the park. But when the vata is imbalanced, balancing the other two is a nightmare. So learning to communicate in an effective way, it also, it's a part of this. And then once you communicate better, you also learn about self-confidence. You know, to say no means you also realize, if I say no, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. And the other person should be able to realize and understand what I mean. So that also comes with saying, if I start saying no to things that I was finding it difficult, you'll also start saying no to that extra sugar, that glass of wine that you really don't need, that extra coffee that I don't need. Even if people come and keep unhealthy stuff in front of you, no, I don't need that. Now, because you have healthy boundaries right now. So this has a dominoes effect in your life and everything that starts coming. So that this is an aspect that we have to explain. And what happens when they come for a Panchakarma retreat, it's like a playground where they learn to have these boundaries. Maybe I don't play tennis the best possible way, but if you go to a tennis playing coach, maybe he starts with just how to move the bat, and then you make it better. Then you realize, okay, maybe I should just start swinging the bat in a better way, hitting the ball. And then slowly, slowly, step by step, you pick up, learn to serve, you improve your forehand, then backhand. Then you realize it's something, it's a learnable skill set. So it's all a learnable skill set, but none of us taught this. And the modern medicine, see, modern medicine is a science that has evolved out of one question, answer to one question. How can I stop death? The modern medical doctor, from the day one day he goes to school, he or she goes to school, what they learn is, how can I prevent death? Living with your vitality and preventing death are two different school of thoughts. That is one thing we have to realize. So that's why they, when they go, okay, maybe this thyroid imbalances can lead to overweight issues, a lot of other tiredness, puffiness, and they are not able to function normally, then they could say, I'm having high heart rate. It leads to high stress levels also in the body. So how can I just find a replacement? And it's about they don't trust the body. Of course, they trust the body, but they are, if it's like, you know, there is a crow flying 2 kilometers away, the pilot freaks out. That's the situation with an allopathic doctor or a modern medical doctor. Of course, it's because of them, our longevity is phenomenal. Painkillers, antibiotics have been revolutionary discoveries and inventions in our humanity's evolution. And it is that completely changed the way we live and look at life, and we are much more safe today than any other time in the history. Right now, it's also time that we connect with ourselves and understand and trust in our own inner healing process. So these are the basics that you have to look into when it comes to, irrespective of men's health or woman's health, for anyone at that point of time. These are very important. But once you follow this, once you apply these principles, fertility, painful menstruation, irregular menstruation, you will see a lot happening, balancing it out.
I love that. And I love your last line there, that trust in your own inner healing processes. Mm-hmm. And I think we live in such a distractive world, like we're very distracted. So we forget that our body has a lot of the answers. We just don't often listen deeply enough. And so sometimes that's where we need support to be able to hear the messages our body is telling us, which is whether that is heavy periods, endometriosis, fibroids, maybe communication challenges, like you mentioned. And I feel that, you know, there's a lot we could talk about. I would love to talk about chakras and everything, because we could do a whole episode on the imbalance of the solar plexus and the digestive challenges that come with that. But I think it just goes to show that it's never just a one-prong approach. It's really important to have a whole, hence holistic approach, looking at all the different avenues. And I think about it like a roundabout, like you've got lots of streets coming to the roundabout. You know, that creates harmony as we move around the roundabout collectively. And our body is made up of amazing systems that need to work collectively together, not one against the other or vice versa. So I love this approach, and I'm glad that everyone's hearing this firsthand directly from you. So thank you for sharing.
You.
Now, all of these steps and these basic principles, that's really what retreat is all about. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You retreat yourself. You learn to treat yourself better.
Oh, I love that. That's a new one from you. I love that. That's great. Because like I was mentioning, when I came home from Sitaram at the beginning of 2020, even though I've had a lot of health practices in my life for a very long time, there were still a number of things that were like, oh, I could do this differently. And I think one of the biggest shifts, and you might be surprised when I tell you this, but one of my biggest shifts, it was probably day 10 or day 11 on my Panchakarma experience. It was after I'd done my 3-day ghee fast. And I just had this aha moment that I was like, wow, nothing has been served cold. So I hadn't even, like, you know how the chefs will make a beautiful pineapple juice or a watermelon juice. It's all served at room temperature. Nothing's pulled straight out of the cold fridge and then blitzed up and then served. So one of the things when I came home is I really started to embody having more room temperature and warm foods. You know, I live in a very tropical climate, very similar to Sitaram.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was aware that sometimes I was physically really hot, so having something cool was very refreshing. But I also realized that could be dampening my digestive system. So that was probably one of my most instilled new habits when I returned home. Plus, I loved the rice soup after the 3-day ghee cleanse. So I've been trying to make that consistently since. But when someone does attend the retreat center and they're there for, you know, a cleansing experience, regardless of the fact that everyone's got a different starting line, so everyone's arriving with different experiences, whether that's high blood pressure, PCOS, infertility, diabetes, what's the experience like at Sitaram? Like, what did you create the experience to be like?
So this is one thing I have observed. When people come with a high expectation that in the next 2 weeks, I have to have a revolutionary change and I have to feel at my best, these are the patients who get most disappointed and they fall sick, and they will have a lot of resistance because they are in a process of outcome motivated rather than the process oriented. I always give the example of the garden in Sitaram. And, you know, we have about 22 gardeners in Sitaram. Because garden is so important for us, and we have a lot of butterflies. And the reason why I have butterflies is the caterpillar shifting to the butterfly is such a symbolic understanding of, you know, how what transformation can do. When people come with their problems, they're coming as caterpillars, and then after the Ayurvedic treatment, they go back as butterflies. They don't have that baggage anymore, so now they can fly.
Mm.
So, and when they come when they come and see the garden, and I'd ask them, do you see that the gardeners are not just functioning once in a while, they're doing every day. And every season, it's a different approach. In summer season, you have to water more. In monsoon, rainy season, we have to make sure the water doesn't get clogged in one area. And soon after the monsoon season, there is a lot of salty wind that can happen as we are very close to the beach. So we have to protect it from too much of salt coming also. So it's not a weekend or a two-week approach that we do to the garden. It's a daily process. However, once in a while, we have to do a real master cleanse. We have to take care of one area a little more. So when you come to Sitaram, I tell them, this is like a 2 weeks where you are going to relearn and unlearn what it means to have higher self-respect and taking care of yourself in a better way. It could be with your routine, it could be with the food, it could be with the treatments, and you could come with a lot of pains in your body, like neck pain, back pain. And once we do these treatments that we do there with the poultices, where they punch on the body, it's like...
I love those.
And that has such a therapeutic and just not just a physical, but also a lot of mental benefits. It's like when somebody is asleep, you tap on the body, that's how you wake them up. Same way, many people are just having sitting jobs. They don't move their body. And that leads to a lot of tension in different parts of the body. And when we do this tamping therapies with this herbs in a cotton cloth with heat and some herbs infused, oil infused it, it activates some of the trigger points that, you know, that could lead to potential pain in different parts of the body. It's a way of diffusing it, just like how you iron a shirt or a cloth that is crumbled. So you are actually in a way ironing some of the crumbled tissues in the body, but in a healthy way. And then we also do the massages and the treatments. You know, when your muscles are relaxed, it's much easier for your mind to relax. And when your mind is relaxed, your muscles are also relaxed. So the muscle has to go through the tension and the relaxation phase. But today, whenever you see people with pain in the neck, back, or sciatical pain, or pain in different parts of the body, it's because they forgot what it means to let go and relax. Your muscle tension is a result of your emotional tension. It could be in different parts. Some people have tight jaws, and that could lead to neck pain and shoulder pain. And when we train them to relax, that itself will release the pain. So, and then they realize, oh my God, this is what it means to relax. I never knew this. And some people, it could lead to emotional outbursts, because some people say that, oh, I feel more tired than ever before. Why is it that I'm feeling more tired? I don't do anything here. And I tell them, you know, it's like the little kids, when they are outside, they are very well behaved. The moment they see their mother or father at home, they start showing all the tantrums, because finally they feel they can be who they are. Outside, they were putting up a show. The same way when they come to Sitaram and when they're going through that retreat, finally the body feels safe to express what it always wanted for a very long period. And tiredness is a sign that the body is asking for time to recover. Tiredness is the way the body is enforcing itself. I need to rest and relax and recover. And tiredness, I would say, it's always a relaxation deficiency. That's why people have this issue. So be prepared to feel tired. Be prepared to go through a lot of emotional ups and downs. But the idea is you have a fantastic support system, be it with the entire group, with the doctors, with the therapists, and our chef kitchen team. You know, we prepare food with a lot of love and make sure it is easy to digest. And it's vegetarian food. And for vegans, we also prepare without buttermilk or yogurt or milk products. And we don't give them ghee, we give other oil alternatives that could be a substitute for ghee. And this helps to realize what it means to eat healthy, what it means to have a healthy routine, what it means to really let go and relax and connect with nature. And they are also having a time without their normal day-to-day life. Maybe they don't have to do their laundry or cooking or taking care of their partner's job. And this daily thing, once they disconnect from that, that disconnection itself is a therapeutic aspect. And that is what is happening. It's not that everything gets changed, but they just change their mindset. They have better connection with themselves. They rewire their approach to what it means to be healthy, what it means to live healthy. And along with that, when we do the panchakarma, like the cleansing of your gut, eliminating excess mucus, lodged in different parts of the body, it could be in the chest, it could be in the sinus part. Those are quite intensive therapies. We don't have a universal protocol. Everything is designed for that person at that point of time. Maybe the same person coming next year, we will have a different treatment protocol because we are a different person by next year. Depending on the food, depending on the surroundings, depending on the things that we go through in life. So right now I see post-COVID, a lot of people having burnout issues, a lot of people having tiredness or long COVID issues. So our treatment approach is quite different. Depending on the seasons, our treatments are different. And when it's extreme winter in Europe and when many Europeans come, they see that arthritis is a big problem and depressive tendencies are also high. So according to that, everybody will have a different starting line. I like that word. We all have a different starting line. We all are in different time zones. And I also have to educate them. Please do not compare yourself with others. We all go through different things in different aspects. So having your approach that you are unique, but even though there's a saying, you're unique like everybody else, but still you are unique, understanding that your approach is different, that also gives them, it's okay to be myself. It's okay to be who I am. And that rewiring is what really happens when you stay there. And this auto-corrects your sleep, auto-corrects your hormones, auto-corrects your... Okay, in some conditions where there is a genetic defect or if it's a type 1 diabetes, there's nothing much we could do there. But we can help them to manage better. Type 2 diabetes, a lot can be reversed just with the lifestyle and the right approach. And some Ayurvedic medications can support that. And some of the approaches with nutrition and stress levels management, this can also help. So this is what happens when they come for this retreat.
It's so diverse. It really is diverse. And I love what you said about it being an unlearning and a relearning at the same time. And just that making that decision to come or to join or to give yourself the permission by saying yes to coming, that in itself is like, oh, I'm doing something great for my body. And I've done lots of different retreats and healing protocols in my experience since I had leaky gut like 12 years ago. And I love Sitaram so much because it is so customized. And when I attended, I was waiting for my period to arrive and I was waiting to menstruate. And I arrived, I think it was like 2 a.m. in the morning. And then the first day I was like, oh, I started menstruating. I was like, this is terrible. I'm menstruating on retreat. But I received the most amazing support from all of the beautiful nurses and the treatments that actually helped me have the best menstrual experience ever. Mm. And I think that that's a really good example that regardless of where you are on your own cyclical journey, where you are in your life experience, your journey through rites of passage or whatever that might be, is that everything is so customized and tailored. Whereas everything else I've done is like, all right, we're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Monday, we're doing this. Tuesday, we're doing this. And I think it's very humbling to know that you're fully held and supported in a relearning experience. And the chefs are fantastic. I love your workshops. I know you'll be there towards the second half of our retreat time. So your workshops that you run and the other stuff, laughing yoga, walking on the beach, basic yoga in the morning, seeing your retreat therapist every day. It really is a complete relearning experience of what is possible for your body when you remove the distraction.
Yeah. And I want to bring one thing. So some patients, they do ask, doctor, when I come for panchakarma, is it okay if, what if I have my menstrual cycle during the treatment? And I tell them that's the best thing that can happen to yourself. And the reason why I say this, today, according to some of the textbooks in Ayurveda, a woman has to rest as much as possible when she's menstruating. this helps her to recover, because menstruation, it's like a panchakarma. It's like she's cleansing herself. So, and at that point of time, if she's engaged with many other daily works and course of work, that in fact doesn't support her to have the real cleanse that the menstrual cycle is supposed to do. It doesn't do justice to what her body is going through. But when she's in that stage, you know, without any work, without the need to cook or changing the bed sheets or doing laundry or even her deadlines that her boss is trying to get out of her, that shift itself is a cleanse that happens to her. And that, mm-hmm. that is when she realizes, oh my God, this is one of the best things that happened. So I tell them, if you're going through menstrual cycle, don't worry, we have treatments. We will have to adjust treatments. We cannot do intensive treatments during the menstrual cycle days. But there are other treatments that will only make it enhanced for your menstrual cycle to happen it in an efficient manner. So this also helps to change that.
Like Nubby Busty. I'm pretty sure it's called Nubby Busty.
Yes, Nubby Busty, yes.
Oh, I'm looking. Where, like, when I came home from retreat, I was like, I'm going to find an Ayurvedic practitioner who's going to give me Nubby Busty every time I'm menstruating, at least one treatment, because it's like the ultimate hot water bottle experience. And it's not even a hot water bottle experience. It's like this beautiful womb bowl of, you know, herbed oil that is, so nourishing. And so I wish for everyone to have that experience at least once in their life. And so thank you for speaking about menstruating and cleansing, because menstruation is a deep surrender to cleansing if we allow it to be, and it can take us so much deeper. So I love that. Thank you for sharing. We're almost out of time, but I would love to get your summary of Sitaram and the experience on retreat for anybody. So what is your wish for everybody when they arrive at Sitaram?
Is understanding that being alive in a human body is one of the greatest gifts that our soul has received. And once you take care of your body, it'll take care of yourself. And that's the real address that we have. And it's a place to enhance. It's like being the Marie Kondo for your body. You know, eliminating all the unhealthy stuff and decluttering your body and giving space to the right things to enter. That's the wish.
I love that, giving space for the right things to enter. Dr. Vignesh, thank you so much. How can people learn a little bit more about you? I'll include all of the links to the retreat center and learning about that. But if they wanted to connect with you personally or learn more about your own podcast, how can they reach out to you?
They could check the podcast, Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond. It's there in Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And in the most of the show notes of my podcast, they will find how to reach out to me. And there's my website, vigneshdevraj.com, where there are links for that.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Vignesh, thank you so much for being here and sharing with us some beautiful wisdom around the Ayurvedic approach to the menstrual cycle and women's health.
Thank you. Thank you, Jemma. It was a pleasure having this conversation.
Thank you for listening to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond. If you loved and enjoyed this podcast, please do subscribe, share, and review us. This helps to spread our mission of guiding humanity to becoming their healthiest self, and also giving the right resources for holistic healing. If you wish to know more about my work, please do visit www.vigneshdevraj.com. And if you are interested in doing an Ayurveda treatment or authentic Panchakarma therapy, please log on to www.sitaramretreat.com.